super. According to Nick Fitzy Stevens, that's the next superstar slot receiver for your New England Patriots, Efton Chisholm III.
Not Efton Chisholm Jr., not the
nope.
Efton Chisholm.
Nah,
EC3, baby. I'm telling you, kid has Patriots playmaker written all over him. Don't just ask me. Ask the coordinators, ask the coaches, ask the fans, ask everybody in town.
Ask the fans. Why would I ask the fans?
I don't know, just to get hype.
You're right. There's a lot of videos. People love him. I expected there to be buzz around, as I've said, the little white slot receiver. It's what we do here in New England. We've done it before. We'll do it again. We'll see if this one is the one that sticks. The one thing I will say is we knew he seemed to have an advocate in his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. It sounded like he earned an advocate in his head coach on Friday night when he said, what did he say? Playing strength? His playing strength is what stood out. That is a weird descriptor, I would say, for an undersized slot receiver. The first thing that the Hardo head coach, former big edge player, outside linebacker, said he noticed his undrafted rookie slot receiver's playing strength. That stuck out to me. It just sort of jumped off the transcript page to me when I had read that. So I don't totally discount him. I'm not nearly as excited or definitive in that he's going to have a role on this team, Fitzy. I go the other end of the rookie spectrum. To me, the second-round pick, that running back that led off the game with a touchdown, then looked like a contributor in both the running game and the passing game. Not going to be perfect. They're all rookies. That's the one thing we need to realize. A lot of these players we're talking about are young players. And they're going to be, you know, there's a reason old school coaches like Bill Belichick like to ease people into their careers, maybe even kind of quasi redshirt them, because it's hard. It's hard to be a rookie in the National Football League. So to just expect that Will Campbell's going to be good and Travion Henderson's going to be good and Jared Wilson's going to be good and just lean on them and hell, maybe throw an Efton Chisholm out there. Well, you're probably going to see some ups and downs with those rookies. But Travion Henderson, remember when, was it Orlovsky or Pete Schrager that was like, oh, Kyle Williams might be the best pass-catching rookie in the NFL this year?
One of them.
I don't feel great about that. I feel better.
It's early.
Yeah, we'll see. But I feel better about you telling me Travion Henderson could be one of the best rookie running backs. I absolutely think he has a chance to do that.
Well, especially when you splash the way that he did, draw nothing but praise from spring practices all the way to training camp in the first preseason game. And then you have things like this from your new offensive coordinator, says Josh McDaniels earlier today. I'm excited to coach him. We've had some really good players with skill sets that are somewhat like his. Maybe no one is fast. Vereen was probably the fastest. Him and Danny Woodhead were fast. But Travion is fast. Excited to be with him. So you basically have McDaniels saying, like, dude's probably the fastest running back that I've coached. He hasn't played a professional. I mean, you can say that Friday night was a professional game because for some reason they're still allowed to charge the same prices to watch Ben Woolridge throw it to Efton Chisholm III.
He was kind of good.
Woolridge?
Yeah.
The Dridge wasn't that bad.
I mean,
if
we're going to put stock in what Efton Chisholm did, don't we have to put stock in the quarterback who threw him the football in those late fourth quarter reps?
Yeah, but that was like the pass that the Dridge threw his way was tipped and wasn't great. And then, you know, Chiz went up and got it and then made the play. So, you know, I give more love to the Chisholm on that one.
Of course you do.
He's my guy.
A little laser show receiver.
Excuse me?
A little laser show receiver you got over there.
He's my new pygmy.
You're not by yourself on that. 617-779-7937. Paulie's been waiting for a little while here to talk about Efton Chisholm. I was hoping he'd hang up, but I guess I got to put him on the air to talk Chisholm. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, what do you say, pal? You're with us on this one, too, though. You like him just like Fitzy and I do as well, don't you, Andy?
No, not nearly as much. I have my doubts about Efton Chisholm. No,
he's not invited to the next meeting, Paulie.
Well, we'd love to have those twin Sarahs again like we had in Amendola and Edelman. But when you going back to the beginning, when Edelman got there, again, he was a quarterback out of Kent State, and they wanted to develop him as a receiver. You could afford to have. I don't know what they did. I can't remember when he was a rookie, if they got him and put him on the practice squad. But you could afford to take that chance. this kid Chisholm, we need those twin towers. You need, in case Bob Douglas gets hurt, you'll have Chisholm to back him up. Or you can have them both on the field from time to time, your twin towers. But this kid broke all of Cooper Kupp's records at wherever it is. I don't know, was it Montana
Eastern
State
Washington.
Or Utah?
Eastern Washington.
Eastern Washington. He broke all of Cooper Kupp's records. Somebody will poach him if you don't protect him.
Thanks for the call, Paulie.
That's right.
Did he nickname, does he have Efton Chisholm and Pop Douglas on the field together and he's calling them the Twin Terrors?
That's right.
Is that what I got there?
Imagine this. How about this? How'd you like a nice form? You could have the Chiz and Pop. You could have, like, let's say Gibson and Henderson. And then Andy, throw out a tight end, another receiver out there. That's a lot of little quick out there.
Yeah. I got to tell you, if Pop Douglas and Efton Chisholm are on the field together, I don't know that I like where this season is going. Where's Stephon Diggs? Is he not on the field? Where's Kayshon Booty?
He might be there.
Matt Collins?
I'm saying there's another option. That was only 10.
Yeah, I don't love that idea of Efton Chisholm being forced into it.
You're a doubter of Josh McDaniels and his spiritual journey.
Also, nothing devalues when you say, yeah, he broke all Cooper Kupp's records. Where the hell was that? Was that Wyoming
or
something?
Do you expect the average masshole and football fan, Patriots diehard, to know Eastern Washington?
No, that's my point. If he had broken all Cooper Kupp's records at LSU, you'd know that they were at LSU. But records weren't exactly set at the highest level of football. And I'm not disregarding his college career. And I don't want to be painted as some Efton Chisholm hater. I just want to say I'm a little bit behind on the rest of the bandwagon that everybody, because are we just going to forget that he started camp doing virtually nothing? That for like 10 days of
you
training
guys
camp
painted him as Dr. Do-Nothing. He was still turning heads. He just wasn't getting the volume of reps that he's been getting lately. And obviously the team is giving him reps like he was catching passes from Drake May today. Granted, it was walkthrough-ish, but at least QB1 was lobbing balls his way today. There's a reason why, obviously, McDaniels, Downing, who spoke after practice and had nothing but high praise for him as well, Vrabel, they want to see what it looks like when they trot the little guy out there next to Drake May with the first team offense. Like, they're obviously giving this strong consideration. If you are Efton Chisholm, his agent, previous coaches, his family, could you ask for much more at this juncture, given there is still about 4 weeks till the regular season?
No, I think they picked a smart place to be an undrafted rookie in Josh McDaniels' offense with a history of these guys developing and evolving and having roles. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that was a smart play on their part. My point would be, if he ends up being one of your best receivers and he ends up being Twin Terrors part of your offense?
Twin Terrors.
That's not a great sign for the rest of the offense. Whereas, speaking of nicknames, give me what Rich Keefe's nickname for the running backs are, because I forgot the word already.
Cerberus.
Cerberus.
The three-headed hellhound of Hades.
Sounds like I said it after a few Miller. Cerberus.
Cerberus.
They, I think, are worthy of a nickname. When I saw them, not only, obviously, Gibson and Henderson made big plays in the kicking game, but I thought all three of them have shown the ability to contribute on offense. That is something where you said, oh, my God, could we have all three running backs on the field? And I would say, yeah, I think there's a chance of it. You could do split backs with Henderson and Ramondre and line Gibson out up at wide receiver, and
Talk
I wouldn't
me.
Think that's ridiculous.
Talk to me.
That is where I think you'd be putting your best talent on the field. I think those three guys, if you were just stacking your roster one to whatever based on ability, offensive ability, playmaking ability, those three guys are going to rank pretty high, probably higher than most of your wide receivers. So Josh McDaniels is smart. He's creative. They got a lot of offensive minds that have been play callers and coordinators and passing game coordinators. Those three guys, I think, could be the centerpiece of your offense. I really do.
So you've got a big body once again that you feel competent about, like you have confidence in Mac Hollins, you have an alpha in Steph Diggs. These are two things the receiving core has kind of lacked the last couple of years. You also have two tight ends who I believe, Andy, your coordinator and especially your quarterback feel confident in throwing the ball to, that they're going to be in the right spot and that they're going to bring the pass in as well. So you got some bigger guys you can rely on, so you can afford to take some shots on some little quicker guys to bring a little balance and some unpredictability along with that game-changing speed to the offense. I like where, listen, we're not talking about the greatest show on turf or the 2018 Patriots, 20, 16 Patriots by any stretch. However, I like where I like the direction it's going. I like how it's trending.
Okay, so there's something else that came out today that I wanted to touch on here. I know it's Jones and Keefe. They do Tier Tuesday. Today's not a Tuesday, and this is not their tier. But The Athletic did their quarterback tiers for this year's crop of quarterbacks. 1 to 34 they went. And so
there's
they have
32 teams?
Yeah, they got a couple extras in there like Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, but not Shadur. Oh, interesting. So Pickett and Flacco made it, but not Shadur. But they have tiers. First tier is the green tier, the dark green tier. That is Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Matthew Stafford. Five guys in their top tier of quarterback. I think there's one too many in there. I don't think Matthew Stafford should be in that tier. The next tier is 6 through 14. It starts with Jaden Daniels and ends with Brock Purdy. Has Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl champion, Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, and then Purdy. The next tier, this is where you're going to hear the name of your starting quarterback, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Drake May. So it starts with Kyler Murray at 15, Aaron Rodgers 16, Tua 17, Trevor Lawrence 18, Geno Smith 19. Tied for 20, you have Bo Nix and Sam Darnold. Haven't gotten to your guy yet. 22, Drake May. How you like
22.
That? Tier 3 quarterback, 22nd ranked overall. What is your immediate reaction to that for Drake May?
That's kind of about right. He hasn't earned it yet. Played two-thirds of a season. Trashy surrounding characters and players. Not a lot of talent. Look good at times. Too many turnovers. Hasn't gotten a full season under his belt with Vrabel and McDaniels and the new guys. Going to be also throwing the ball and handing it off to a bunch of new faces as well. So he needs to earn his way into the upper half. Like by the end of this season, if Drake May was in the middle of that second tier, like around 12 or so, would I be happy? Boy, howdy.
Time now for our league leaders and who's circling the drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. So, I said it. League leaders, those top five guys. I would not include five guys. Stafford would be out. Also, probably should have noted, Fitzy, because we've talked about this and debated this. They don't have a number one quarterback. They have a tie for the top quarterback in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow are tied for number one, with, interestingly, at 3 and 4, the last couple MVPs from the National Football League, and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson coming in at 3 at 4. So those are your league-leading quarterbacks. You know who the worst quarterback in football, according to The Athletic, is? Kind of hurts. He gets his own category. He gets bright orange. All the other crappy quarterbacks are light orange.
Anthony Richardson.
No, he's two spots ahead in the light orange category.
Okay, who is it then?
Kenny Pickett. I almost said Ryan Pickett. I don't know
okay,
Ryan
but he's
Pickett
QB 34. So that means Anthony Richardson is 32.
Yes.
So he's technically,
I guess Anthony Richardson is the worst because in between them is Spencer Rattler at 33. But circling the drain.
Tyler Shuck.
Poor Kenny Pickett.
Oh, no. His time has passed.
They
time
made
hands,
a
Kenny.
Separate tier for him. He's the
doll
only
hands?
Guy
is it a
in
very
tier
small
five.
One?
He does have small hands. He does have to wear
doll
gloves
hands.
At times where not all quarterbacks would need to wear gloves. He did initiate the fake slide to change the rules in college football. So Kenny Pickett, interesting note. But, no, Drake May, and I heard Wiggy and Curtis arguing about this on the Greg Hill show this morning.
Shocker.
With no Greg Hill and Courtney doing a tremendous job in the one seat. But they were arguing what this means. And I was kind of on Shime's side when he chimed in with, like, this is who they say you are now. This doesn't mean they're saying it's who you're going to be. By the end of the year, Drake May could be whatever this other light green color is, tier
he
two
could
quarterback.
Be 17. 16.
He could be much
like
higher than that.
Could be.
17 or 16. Oh, so he's 22. So in front of him, let's say
he's
it
literally
again.
22, and he's also 22.
Sam Darnold, Bo Nix, Geno Smith, Trevor Lawrence. Could he pass all those guys?
Sure.
Okay. You know who's in front of them? Tua. Oh. Could he pass him?
Oh, God. He stinks.
Aaron Rodgers. His career could be over. Could he pass him?
Guy's 80.
Okay.
Of course.
So that right there gets you into the top 15 quarterbacks if you pass those
guys.
And
then now he just He didn't even have to like. He didn't have to step over the velvet rope. Someone just moved it to the side for him and let him bring his small wife.
And I don't want to be disrespectful to a guy like Baker Mayfield, but it wasn't long ago that Baker Mayfield was a journeyman, cut multiple times, signed on a Wednesday, play on a Thursday for the Rams kind of quarterback.
And also balled out that particular Thursday night for the Rams and sort of put his name back on the map of respectability. And since then has played his ass off.
Sure. So you think he is locked in as a great quarterback? There's no chance Baker Mayfield could ever regress.
Have you seen the surrounding talent they've given him this year in Tampa? I think I'm pretty confident in saying Baker Mayfield is going to have a very good to great season. Yeah. Yes.
We will see. I think Baker Mayfield is a middling quarterback who at his best looks like one of the best in football. And when he's on the downside, looks like a bottom 10 quarterback in the National Football League. My point is, he's another guy that I think Drake May with a great year could pass. I don't think it's crazy if Drake May does what year two quarterbacks are supposed to do for him to jump seven spots beginning into the top 15 quarterbacks. And if things go really well, or we also know there's probably a good chance one or two of these guys will be injured and miss most of the year because injuries happen at the quarterback position.
It does.
I just don't think it's crazy for him to leap up. Now, he's got to do it. He can't fumble every time he, you know, gets on the field or throw interceptions when it's crunch time or two-minute drill or the things he's been doing this summer. And, again, if you missed the Drake May interview from earlier in the show, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app, the iHeart app, any of your regular podcast providers. We'll also play some of the clips in the drive at 5. And in a couple minutes, we're actually going to talk to Marcus Jones, his first interview of the season here on Patriot Monday. Yes, Fitzy.
Yeah, we're going to get a chance to ask him what it was like to have Efton Chisholm climb the ladder, go over top of him, and rain in a sixer on Sunday.
No, we're not going to ask him about that because some of us want to not play into the annoying narrative that is the fourth string receiver garbage time.
It's the preseason. Embrace it. And by the way, the Fitzy 5 at 5:30, that's exactly where I'm going with that, just to drive you even crazier. And also, by the way, everyone has a favorite camp story, and he happens to be this year.
Do you have the guy who led the team in rushing who believed in UFOs because he saw him off the back of a cruise ship once?
Who was that?
I don't know. I just told you the story. You need this is like Jeopardy. And then now who is I need to back.
All right,
Thomas? Hey. Thomas something.
Thomas something. Oh, let me write that
Let's
down.
Let's go with Thomas something. Look him up. He like led the league in rushing for the Patriots in the preseason and believed in UFOs because he claimed he saw one off the back of a cruise ship. Boom. You're welcome.
That's juicy. By the way, how do you think? Here's a good one. So if you're not the biggest believer in Maker Playfield, and you think that Drake May could surpass him this season, how do you think Drake May would do if he had the kind of talent Baker Mayfield does in Tampa? Like, would you have top 10 sights set for Drake May?
Yeah.
Because that's a loaded receiver. That's a loaded offense.
Absolutely. If the talent were better around Drake May, I would be more confident in an expedited elevation up these tiers and rankings and being like a 15th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL, maybe more. So, and that's part of it. And maybe Efton Chisholm and other guys will develop. Kyle Williams, Travion Henderson, Will Campbell. If all these young guys we're talking about coming out of the preseason opener do their job and are doing it at a high level, yes, that will make Drake May's job easier and the chances of him elevating his game will be that much better. 617-779-7937 if you want to react to the preseason opener like Fitzy and just put Efton Chisholm right in the Patriots Hall of Fame, measure him for that little
first
red
ballot.
Jacket that he'll need.
They're expediting him.
Very, very
Where's the statue
going
to go, Andy?
That's a great. There's plenty of room next to Tom Brady. We can have a 4-foot statue. It'll be my size, life-size Andy statue. Yes, Dan Ball.
Is Efton Chisholm's statue also going to look like it's from the Breakfast Club?
Is that what you thought? That was your reaction?
Yeah, like the fist pump at the end of
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw more Olympic protest, but also there were criticisms. Do we all agree the head's a little small?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, which shouldn't happen. Shouldn't
is that
because
of the
happen?
Shoulder pads, or is that just bad perspective?
Well, he also looks a little pudgy around the midsection. I don't know if that's rib pads under the jersey.
It's a mid statue.
It's fine.
It is.
But the one thing
Wait,
I asked.
You think it's mid?
It's definitely
mid. It is. And that's what I tweeted, and like some people were coming at me like, I don't hate it. I just don't love it.
No,
either.
It's mid. It's nice, safe. Like, you didn't screw it up, but you didn't really go for it and do anything crazy. My only question is with the head size.
6'7"?
It's 6'7", Fitzy. It's actually 12, but it's 6'7" in your case. But my only question is, like, the head size. In this day and age of AI, can't they, like, scan it with something and say, oh, the head's too small? Like, some computer say, I scanned Tom Brady thousands of times on the field.
You could also use your eyes. Like, it was obvious.
I know, but eyes aren't computers.
And they even can't, like,
eyes
if you
lie.
Watch. If you watch the making of video at Patriots.com, which I'm sure Andy downloaded, watched, and rewatched on the drive into work today. I'm sure you probably have it memorized word by word.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. With sculptor, what's his name? Like, they had a model made before. There were obviously several models leading up to the ginormous 12-foot bronze one. Something kind of got lost in translation, because I'm sure when you're building, like, a doll size, then a semi-realistic size one, the head, like, someone's going to say, like, the head is a bit small.
Is this like Honey, I Blew Up the Kids, but not at the right proportions?
Call me naive, but did Brady see that and or approve it before it was unveiled? Or was that legit the first time he saw that statue?
I would think he saw it. Or as Fitzy said, there were Andy-sized models along the way. I'm sure he saw at least one of those, mm-hmm. or even just a picture. And it's fine. Why? If that was you, Stiz, would you be mad about it?
No, I mean, not many people get to say that there was a statue made of them.
But it's not embarrassing. There's nothing.
No, it's not. I wouldn't say it's embarrassing.
It's not perfect.
I think maybe we were just, we've been talking about this stupid statue for a year. And then I was convinced. Right. I sent it the picture to the group chat of him holding the Lombardi.
Yeah.
I was convinced that's what it was.
Me too. But I think there's some issues there with sort of the Lombardi and the licensing of it.
Wow,
and those
if there's
issues
licensing, and, made billions for the effing league. If they can't let him hold a replica Lombardi in bronze,
okay,
then screw them all.
I agree. I'd like a Lombardi there. To me, when you think Tom Brady, you think Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah,
like,
it
those
didn't really
go
feel like
hand.
He was the GOAT in that statue.
You're
that
right.
Makes sense. I know they have the markings
like,
on
no,
the bottom
guys,
of it.
What
but...
Dan, you know what it looked like to me? Like it was more impressive when I saw it later at night with fans standing around it, like from a distance, like two football fields away. It is very striking, but it was. It's almost like they took this reverent, safe, stoic route that looked more Pro Football Hall of Fame than taking a chance to make it iconic Tom Brady,
yes.
Patriot worthy. Like, my first thing my wife said when I got home later that night was, I liked it, but it wasn't very Tom Brady.
Nope. I agree with your wife. Your wife is right. There is nothing specific and iconic about the statue. It's just, okay, it's fine. Generic quarterback football player. Yes, Dan Ball?
So we're all agreeing that Tom Brady had to sign off on this in some capacity, right?
I think Tom Brady signs off on anything that involves Tom Brady.
And that's what I'm thinking. You know what it kind of felt like?
Including
it feels
the
like,
joke about the Jets?
It feels like current day Tom
His
Brady.
His color commentary?
It feels like overly safe, face of brands,
oh,
face of Fox,
Dan
Tom Brady
Ball.
Versus player Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's not bad,
like.
Dan.
Yeah, and I know we're up against it, but I would like to, you know, ask you guys what you thought about some of that commentary. The Jets jokes, the Belichick phone call, maybe after the trending.
All right, we'll get into that. We also have to talk to Marcus Jones, who'll be joining us each and every Patriot Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. Marcus Jones is up next, but Dan Ball is right now. WEEI Afternoons, our first Patriots Monday of the year. We'll get to Marcus Jones in just a moment. Two things to clean up. First, we got a texter that's angry at us, Fitzy, for criticizing.
What now? What do we do now?
Criticizing the statue. This is one of those fired off 508, like six texts in a row. The guy, talent, the
508, by the way, of all area codes, if I may, Andrew, chirps at us the most.
I'm from the 508.
Okay.
Coincidence?
On brand.
I think not.
I think not.
The talent the guy has to even make that statue look like him is what's important, blah, blah, blah. Talk on a microphone, pathetic. Blah, blah, blah. He got the face right. That's all that matters.
Don't ever have an opinion on anything again, damn it.
You know how many times people tell us we suck? Some guy told me, like, I was a Major League DB a-hole earlier on the text line.
Like, and that was the nice one that you got.
Wait, he went double insult?
Like, if
he called you a DBA?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
No. Wow.
DBA.
A twofer. It was a yeah. BOGO yeah, at yeah. the insult store.
But the reality is, if you're, I mean, not that we are artists, but we're doing something public. We're putting our talents on display, and people like them, dislike them, yell at us, criticize us. That's fine. Just
we
like
just
the sculptor.
Said we just said we like the statue. It's really well done. Some of us were kind of looking for, and I understand they even talk about in the making of video, they talk about the 10 different poses they chose from it, but wanted to go with something all time to not remember like a specific moment, but to just sort of like look forward in triumph thanks to his great accomplishments and what he meant to the area. Okay, it's a choice. An artist made a choice. God bless. But we just would have liked to have remembered, you know, for all time's sake. Like when I think Tom Brady, I always think the fist pump on the field. I do. Or it could have been like that time. Remember when like he throws the touchdown pass to Edelman to put them up 28-24 in Super Bowl 49? And he does the like slow fist pump and then turns and points at Josh. Like, give me one of those iconic poses that just gives me gridiron goosebumps every time I think of it.
I was just thinking that Dan Ball's initials are DB. I just maybe they were talking to him earlier and I mistook it for me on the text line. But
nope.
Stiz, we'll get back to your questions about Tom Brady and the way he handled his speech, because I think that is at least up for fair criticism. People won't jump all over us for not having the artistic ability in our pinky to make a statue. And yeah, that's why I'm not a sculptor. I realized I didn't have that aptitude. I was going to say aptitude and realized I don't know that word. Go to ability. And then I screwed the whole thing up. Anyway, I was down at Patriots practice this morning. It was hot out there, in case you're wondering. It was very hot. And if you're looking on Twitch or YouTube, you know my forehead is getting redder by the minute with the sunburn that I took in this morning. Boots on the Ground Radio was in Foxborough to talk to Marcus Jones, Patriots return man and defensive back, on his first Patriots Monday appearance. Patriots Monday, and joining us now on the field, practice field, Gillette Stadium, Marcus Jones. He'll be talking to us all year on Patriots Monday. Marcus, how's training camp going?
It's been great. Just, you know, building great relationships from the situation as a team and everything like that. Been out here practicing. We've been practicing hard, putting in a lot of work and everything. So I'm happy to, you know, be back on the field and then also, you know, put in a lot of hard work and dedication.
There was, you know, a joke at one point, not for long is what NFL stands for. And you've now gone through three sort of regimes, coaches, experiences in a short young career. So yeah. I'm guessing you still sort of feel young, but also kind of feel like a veteran too, based on what you've been through. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's funny because I remember my rookie year like it was yesterday, you know, but now I'm one of the older guys. You know, I've had a lot of snaps and everything like that in the league. So, you know, my main thing is letting the vets know, you know, that I'm one of the vets also in the room, but then also the rookies as well, helping them, letting them know what they should see, things like that. And then also the transition from college to the league and everything, just trying to help them as much as I can.
Speaking of transitions, Gerard Mayo was the coach last year. He had a certain culture, regime, whatever you want to call it. Mike Vrabel comes in. How would you describe whatever it is that Mike Vrabel's establishing?
Yeah, man, first off, the standard is the standard. I love that, just off the fact of letting everyone know that's in the building, like, this is the standard. No matter if you're year 10 or year 1 and everything like that, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, then we're going to have a talk about it. And the team also going to hold you accountable as well. So that's something that, you know, it don't matter what's the weather outside, don't matter where they put the ball at and everything, we're trying to dominate. So that's the main thing for sure.
We often, I think, associate culture with the coach or coaches or the style of play or maybe even history.
Yeah.
But what role do players, new players, obviously there were a lot of captains that are no longer here, big free agent class, young team, like what role do players play in building that new culture and how is that going?
Yeah, so the main thing is, even I'll take it back to my rookie year, you know, I have to find my role. So everyone, you know, as time goes on, practice, you know, you earn a role and everything like that. And then whenever that is your role, dominate in that role. So my first role whenever it was my rookie year was special teams. So that's something that, you know, some guys, they want to come in and start and everything like that. But you might not be the best player that's producing them as much as you need to be. So you need to find your role, enhance with that, and then more playing time will come from then and there.
We'll get to the special teams in a minute because obviously that got off to a really nice start the other night. But defensively, for you, I think we kind of say slot corner. How are you going in terms of establishing yourself in that role? And is it a challenge? I know Christian's missed some time. Carlton's missed a little time. Like, what's that dynamic trying to figure out your role without maybe some of the guys you might play without there?
Yeah, no, I love nickel, first off, just off the fact of, you know, making plays in a run, but then also, you know, in the pass game and everything like that, you're closer to the ball most of the times. But no, I don't feel like it's a challenge playing on the outside. So I feel as though I've played more outside than inside since I've been here. And, you know, it's one of those situations to where just knowing my my pros and my cons and everything like that. But, you know, the main thing that I try to do is make plays on the ball as much as I can and stuff like that. Play through the hands if I'm out of phase, you know, small little things like that. But then also taking advantage of the reps no matter where I am, because I don't care where I'm at on the field. I'm going to try to dominate no matter where I'm at.
You mentioned being near the ball, getting a chance to make plays when you're in the nickel inside there, different things. You do definitely play with a physical style. Is that, where'd that come from? You're not the biggest guy on the field, obviously. Where does that fearless attempt, where does that come from?
Yeah, some people say I got little man syndrome.
Me too, I hear the same thing.
So I mean, whenever I'm out there and everything, I feel as though I'm 6'3", 240. I mean, that's just my mindset. But, you know, I'm just trying to, like I said, dominate the person that's in front of me in order to make plays on the ball. So that's the main thing. No matter the height or weight and everything like that, like, at the end of the day, if you want to make plays, you got to do it.
In the kicking game, I referenced it. Travion Henderson took it to the house. First play, great way to obviously
congrats
start.
To him,
awesome.
Sure.
As a return unit with you, wherever you're at, punts, kickoffs, are we going to ever see you on kickoffs? Do you like kickoffs?
I don't know. Yeah, no, I love kickoffs. Like, okay. Wherever it got something to do with the ball in my hand, I love it. So I don't care where it's at. But, you know, if they tell me that I need to do it and everything like that, then I'll be down to do it for sure.
But as a leader on that side of the ball, the third phase, we see one guy go to the house. Gibson had a long one later. Some new rules there with the touchbacks. Do you think that is going to be a more exciting play this year, more big returns?
I definitely feel this, though, because first off, like, what you're trying to do is make people work harder for yards. So what you don't want to do is give the ball back at the 35.
Right.
So the main thing is people going to end up making sure not to kick it in the end zone and stuff like that, so then people can return the ball and stuff. So I feel as though there will be more returns for sure.
So Travis Hunter, getting a lot of love, obviously, for something you've been doing for years, right? Mm-hmm. Playing both ways, making plays in all three phases.
Yeah.
But in a serious sense, when you see what he's attempting to do, as someone who's kind of done that, how do you look at it? Is it really hard? Is he just a great athlete and you think it's very feasible? How do you sort of look at that from afar?
Yeah, the main thing is the game is faster. That's the main thing I would end up saying. First off, kudos to him, you know, and everything like that. Like, you can play both sides in the league and everything. You definitely can. To him, I'm just like, hey, you know, do your thing. You know, take it one day at a time. The main thing is, you know, you have to have a little bit more recovery, in a sense, than everyone else because you're playing more snaps and stuff. But, I mean, I hope the best for him.
One of the big talking points, I'm sure you're aware, with this team is always the wide receiver position. So when I get a chance to talk to you guys that see that position from sort of the mirrored view all the time, like, what are your thoughts? You know, you go up against all these guys on a daily basis. How do you see this wide receiver position kind of coming together?
Yeah, I feel as though there's a lot of competition and everything in that room. It's great just off the sense of, you know, seeing the young guys compete as well and everything. And it's just enhancing the room so much and everything because everyone's making plays and I love to see it and stuff like that. And, you know, if we keep battling and having a competition on our side of the room, also for the offense, you know, it's always making all of us better.
What's this week like? We got the first preseason game out of the way. Now you got another joint practice. You're going to be on the road. You know, the Vikings have a certain setup there. How do you embrace this, I guess, transitional period as you kind of step closer to the season?
Yeah, the main thing is, we don't really focus too much on the other teams. It's still, like you said, training camp for us.
Yep.
So the main thing that we're trying to do is get ourselves better. You know, it's competition at its finest at the end of the day. You know, we're going to go there. We're going to compete and everything like that and make sure we're getting the stuff that we need to get done and everything as a team first.
I guess I glossed over it talking about Travis Hunter. Do you still want to play some offense? Can you still do that? And you don't have to give away trade secrets if you're not doing it. But is that still something you like, that you'd like to pursue at some point if the coach came to you? Or?
Yeah, if you come up to me and everything like that and we talk about it, I'm definitely down. Like I said, anytime I got something to do with the ball in my hands, I'm definitely down for it. So
that's that little man syndrome. He can beat anybody. Any side of the ball, right? Any position.
For sure.
Marcus Jones, Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. Our first chat of what hopefully will be a long, fun season on Patriots Mondays.
Fellow little man Marcus Jones down at Patriots practice today. I was looking at him eye to eye for that whole interview.
I wonder if
he
also
literally on the level
license
with him, Andy.
I was. I like that. That was much better than standing between Cole Strange and Ted Johnson. And no, 603 texter, I didn't want to ask him about his career being at a crossroads because I don't think it is, Mr. Sarcastic Texter.
You
funny
should.
Guy. Can I just say real quick, I had a buddy in the area, not too far from you on the 508, send me a text during the interview asking, do you think Marcus Jones might be the new Matthew Slater of the team? And I take that to mean vis-a-vis like a maybe sort of spiritual leader, maybe sort of like, you know, cheer, you know, pump up positive guy. Like I see good things potentially in that. And you know what a fan I've been of him. And I think maybe this could be his, it seems like Vrabel and company like him as well. I think this could be a great year for him.
Marcus Jones' thoughts on leadership, spirituality, the Patriots, and playing both ways in the National Football League. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. That was Patriots two-way and three-way player Marcus Jones. Moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons, he will be a regular Patriots Monday guest each and every week. We'll talk to him about special teams, cornerback, and hopefully, potentially, maybe some offensive snaps at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, should we tell Josh to Google it to learn that Marcus Jones play? Oh, that's a cheap shot, Andy.
That's a cheap shot, Andy. Did you just Van Pelt him?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. That was
no.
That was
it's actually.
Nice.
I'm surprised. I thought perhaps, but you know, hey, it is early. You're establishing the afternoon show relationship with him. I thought perhaps you may ask, like, do you want to get maybe 3 to 5 a game, a couple looks, a few formations?
He should. He absolutely. So this
He's
is where
so
I wanted to go.
At.
First of all, I think it's great that he thinks Travis Hunter, great athlete, you can do it. And Travis Hunter did play both ways in his preseason debut. So it certainly looks like we're going down the road of Travis Hunter trying to be a two-way player for the Jaguars. But, you know, it's interesting. I believe, and I've always believed this, and I didn't say this to him because I feel like he'd get angry if I said this to him, because he seemed to get a little annoyed that I insinuated that he was a slot corner. Well, I've actually played more on the outside than the inside. Okay. I didn't
mean to. Okay, and remember I told you, 2022, the Raiders game, which is remembered for a lot of other reasons, he played really good boundary corner against Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Now, that being said, I will go to my grave believing what he said. When the ball is in his hands is when he's the best athlete on the field, whether that's punt returner, kick returner, or even offense. I still think at cornerback is the worst of his roles or the least of his abilities. So if you told me, you know, I've been advocating for this for years. Now, I don't think you need it anymore. But over the last couple of years, when they kind of lacked a third down back, kind of lacked that weapon, he could have been that guy. Now,
yes,
we've moved on. You got Travion Henderson. You got Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson. So you kind of fill out all those roles. So I'm guessing we're not going to see him much. It's a little bit like, why is he not returning kicks? And I'm not complaining about it after the first game because Gibson and Travion Henderson both looked good. Is it because they don't want him to have too much wear and tear? So they're just going to have him do punts and play defense? Because I think he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. I really
do. Of course he is. Dude, I mean, just like, wasn't one of the only highlights of the miserable 2023 season the win against the Jets,
yep,
the punt return?
Yep.
With like 6 seconds left. Like, that was awesome.
Right.
It's like one of the only times that year I think any of us cheered out loud on purpose.
So my buddy Paul Perillo, who we know hates everything, more than I do, I would say, hates everything.
Impossible.
I think he does hate more than me. He's a bit of a hater from the old days. He doesn't think it's crazy to compare Marcus Jones and Devin Hester. It's one of the most eye-opening positive comments I've ever heard Paul say, that he thinks Marcus Jones at times is that special with the ball in his hands. If that's true, then I would like him on kicks and punts. And I think he can be an impact guy, especially for a team. I don't know that we feel great about the offense. Is that safe to say? We don't feel totally convinced they're going to roll out of bed and score 24 to 30 points. Hey, you know what would be nice? Punt return touchdowns, kick return touchdowns, big plays in that way that put you in field goal range before the offense even touches the ball. So I think Marcus Jones is, to steal a phrase from Fitzy and Hart, a sneaky key player for the Patriots this year. Sneaky.
Did I
key.
Just hear that?
Yep. Sneaky key player.
Marcus Jones.
Yep.
Sneaky key player for your New England Patriots this year. Here's me on the other side of this broadcast, not disagreeing.
Yeah, because I would include defense in that, because the reality is, for the most of this summer so far, he's been your only starting caliber corner who's actually been out there most of the time, because Christian Gonzalez obviously dealing with the hamstring injury. In case you missed it, Mike Vrabel said he will go to Minnesota, but you won't necessarily see him. He was kind of, oh, see what I did to you guys there? You'll see him in Minnesota, but you won't necessarily see him playing football with the rest of his friends. And Carlton Davis, like, I still think they're both going to be fine, but they haven't exactly been on the field every day. And Marcus Jones has been out there working with guys like DJ James, AA, Alex Austin, and those guys. But I think that's your core three defensive backs out there. He's going to be tested in the slot. And then when you bring in his return game, yeah, I think it's fair to call him a sneaky big contributor to the 2025 Patriots. How you like them apples? And you'll talk to him each and every Patriots Monday right here, WEEI Afternoons.
I freaking love it. Because, yeah, if Gonzo or Carlton Davis, and I would probably put Carlton Davis potentially, given his unusual, or dare I say, unique pre and off season in his first year of his 3-year, $60 million deal with the Patriots. It's a little unusual. I think Marcus Jones could end up getting kicked to the outside. Or do you think it would be Alex Austin who first gets a look on the outside?
Probably Marcus Jones, but I don't totally know. That is still being played out. And those guys continue to show up and make plays. All of those guys continue to show up and make plays. But you know how I feel about that. It's one thing to show up and make plays in a reserve role in the summer. Then all of a sudden you find out, oh, wait, Alec Austin or DJ James is our starting corner. Why is he our starting corner? And what happened to the plan that was supposed to be so good? Anyway, that's cornerback talk here on WEEI Afternoons. Marcus Jones talking about Travis Hunter playing both ways and how he can continue to do the same thing if asked to do it. Coming up on WEEI Afternoons, it's 5 o'clock. That means it's time for The Drive. That means you might hear a little bit of Drake May audio next here on WEEI.